Karen, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, meeting will come to order. Let's begin with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Check off that. This is Monday, March 28th, 2022, and this is a live public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice of public in the Hunterdon County Democrat and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the Township website, the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the Public Safety Building, and fax to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you pull the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Ms. Lights?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pepper?
Here.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Absent.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Absent. And just for the record, Mr. Yeager recused last time, and I assume that's why he's not here, because he's going to be recusing this time.
That's correct. He told me that as much earlier.
I would have done that as well. Had I not already RSVP'd, I'd be here, so.
Right.
I figure you count on the yeses and noes for something, so.
Well, Mr. Pfeffer will be recused.
Yes.
It's been a while since you've seen us.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Especially in person.
Yeah.
He was dying to come to the meeting to help adopt the minutes.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
Okay. New business. Review of the vouchers. I looked them over. I didn't have any questions. We had 7 of them. Does anyone else have any comments, questions? None? Okay. No questions on the vouchers. Moving on to meeting minutes. First are minutes of December 13th. Eligible members are White, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Pfeffer, Rohrbach, Stevens, and Yeager. And Denise, I sent you a few small changes, right?
Yep.
I don't think any of them were of substance, right? I mean,
no. I forget.
There was a typo, word typo in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just nothing except. Does anyone else have any corrections to those minutes? If not, a motion to approve those minutes.
I'm making a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay,
second.
And
a second.
And Denise, would you call a roll on that, please?
Ms. Light?
Yes, I believe.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Yes.
And you could also call Ms. Rohrbach, who's now here, and I believe she is eligible to vote on the December 13th, 2021 minutes.
You need a minute, Heidi?
No.
So, a yes?
Approve the
yes.
Minutes?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
And next we have the meetings of January 24th, 2022. Eligible members, Lewis, Light, and Kathy McKiernan, Rohrbach, and Stevens. And I sent you just 2 really tiny changes on this. Again, nothing of substance, correct?
Yes, yeah,
I'm
not sure
the same month, okay. Anyone else have any comments or corrections? If not, I have a motion to approve those minutes, please. And a second.
Second.
Okay, Denise, will call the roll now.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Wright?
Yes.
Ms. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
And Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then we're on to resolutions. Joseph Serrani,
you're here to vote on
yes.
This one, right?
Okay. Yep. So I missed what happened with this because I wasn't here for the last meeting. But
so we'll recap it. Okay. Then you can't vote on it because you won't hear when you voted on it.
Yeah.
Let me do the introduction on this first. This is resolution 2022, should be 01. It's not printed on the agenda.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I have the resolution, but I sent out the agenda.
So at our previous meeting, we had discussion that Mr. Serrani had not paid the legal fees of the HERS, which was one of the requirements in the resolution. And the resolution gave him 60 days or 30 days?
It doesn't matter because he didn't pay however much time.
Yeah.
The clock
run out.
Right.
Right. So in the resolution, it said it automatically converted to dismissal with prejudice. And what we discussed and did last time was passed a motion just confirming what had automatically happened.
Correct. Because the HERS, thank you, spacing, wanted to have a written confirmation that, in fact, it had been dismissed with prejudice.
Right. So we explicitly discussed it, and there was really no debate. We were just sort of memorializing what the resolution said.
Right.
And get a motion, and this is the document memorializing that.
Does someone have a copy of that resolution right here? I just want to see what I had down on who was
I have it electronically.
Because I have a feeling the reason that Pepper is listed is because the drafter of the first draft had him. I think I took him off.
Yeah, but no, there was a lot of back and forth on Friday. He was taken off.
Okay.
You know? Right. You taken off because you were here when you voted.
Yeah.
Right. In February, right.
Right, and I, in error, had him on the agenda
okay.
as well.
Okay.
But I crossed it out.
Great.
Okay, so eligible members are Lewis, McCaffrey, McTiernan, and Steve. Any discussion on this?
Mm-hmm.
Motion to adopt?
I'm not going to motion to adopt.
Sorry. And Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Stephen?
Yes.
The motion carried.
All right, thank you.
And out of curiosity, us doing this doesn't in any way change the township's right to collect the
owed
still.
Just so you know,
it's unrelated.
They paid the escrow, they paid my fees. They didn't pay HERS fees.
Okay.
Now, apparently, the reason they paid, I got a phone call. This is no problem to put this on the record. This is what happened. This is not privileged information. I got a phone call from Mr. Serrani, who asked me what the consequences would be for not paying my fees or the HERS fees. So I said, well, if you don't pay both of the fees, it's dismissed with prejudice. And he said, well, what if I don't care if it's dismissed with prejudice? Because apparently he's having a rough time getting what he thought would be an easy time from the Clarendon County Agricultural Development Board. I said, so there's really no other consequence other than that. I said, well, if you don't pay my fees, I said, the township's going to sue you. He said, well, what if I just paid your fees then? Well, then it's dismissed with prejudice, and that's what he paid my fees, and he didn't pay the HERS fees, and that's why it's dismissed with prejudice, and I'm covered.
The HERS could sue.
Right, but that has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's not our problem.
Right. Well, trust me, it won't be worth the money. I think they're just as happy that it was dismissed with prejudice, because if he sells it to somebody, that thing's running with the land.
They're happier.
Yeah.
You know, if the choice between dismissal with prejudice and the $5,000, they would have taken the dismissal with prejudice.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I'm
glad you got paid. So.
Well, actually, just let's be totally honest. The township would have had to pay me.
Yes, this is true also.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm glad that the township got paid.
Yeah.
And he said he's having a hard time from the ag board.
Yeah, because they thought it was like, you know, no problem. Well, when the prior attorney, before he got fired and I got the new one, when the prior attorney first sent me the then proposed State Agricultural Development Committee regulation, I looked at it and I said two things. Number one, the Board of Adjustment does not implement SADC regulations. You have to go to the Clarendon County Agricultural Development Board. But I said, but read that. You don't qualify, because it has to be attached to where the horses are. This is a separate building. Oh, no problem. The Hunter and County Agricultural Development Board was going to give him, okay, you can name us no more than me. Apparently he didn't. Okay.
You see, I kept the Mayor Prize that was sold that. Okay.
Makes a lot of stories, right? Add to the box of stories. And we've had some good ones over the years.
Oh, yeah.
This is an okay story. Yeah.
And this may be the final chapter.
Let's hope.
Okay, and that is it for Serrani. And now we're on to public hearing for St. Clair. And
it's nice to see everyone.
Mr. Pepper is recusing and is leaving the building.
Yep.
Take care.
Happy to see you, Nick.
Nice to see you.
Yes. Okay, we're going to continue the public hearing on St. Clair. And
make your appearance for the record?
Yes, I'm very quickly. Do I unmute myself here or what exactly?
No, you don't need to unmute because, I guess I should ask, I have a speakerphone going here. Can you hear? You can. Can you hear Chris? Can you hear Kara speaking?
Kara,
say a couple things.
Chris, can you hear me?
Okay. Then we're all set.
Okay.
I'm going to turn Chris up.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Great to see everybody here in person. As the chair indicated, this is the continuation of the St. Clair application. Last time we were before you was back in January 24th. So I just want to give you a brief little recap so that we can then proceed with our architect tonight and you can ask any questions that you need in order to make a determination. The property that is the subject of this application, 87 Beaver Avenue, Block 59, Lot 1. That's within the township C1 commercial zone. I'm sure you're all aware of this history of this property. This used to be a bank. And by way of prior approvals, the property was changed into use as a dental office. And there were a number of different approvals that were granted by prior resolutions. And there was a waiver of site plan approval in order to change the use to dental office. And there were some C variances for minimum lot area, minimum front yard setback, maximum impervious coverage percentage, maximum permitted sign area, and there is also an exception granted from the minimum number of parking spaces. So now we're here before you tonight to request the approval of an additional 204 square feet of building area, which will replace the existing drive-through that was currently part of the bank, and also for some additional signage. The relief that's required by this board for this project is preliminary and final site plan approval. A C variance from your minimum front yard setback requirements as they relate to Beaver Avenue. There's 40 feet required, 24.45 feet existing, and 30.91 feet proposed. So just to be clear there was a previous front yard setback variance granted for the 24.45 feet by way of prior resolution. We're asking for another one this time, in order to have the front yard setback at 30.91, but that setback is greater than what currently exists on the property. Next, we also need that same minimum front yard setback variance from Route 31. You have that same 40-foot required. You have 17.5 feet existing, but we're asking for a variance for 34 feet. Again, same thing, the variance we're asking for still provides for a greater front yard setback from Route 31 than what currently exists by way of the existing building and what was currently previously granted. Maximum floor area ratio, that's what puts us before this Board of Adjustment. 15% is required. 14.62 is existing.
15 is the max.
I'm sorry, that's 15 is the max. You're absolutely correct. 14.62 is existing, and 15.49 is what's proposed. That's a D4 variance, and you heard some testimony from our planner at the last meeting in support of that variance as well as the other. We also need an exception from the minimum number of parking spaces. There were 22 previously required. A waiver was granted for 18 parking spaces. By way of this addition, we now require one more space for a total of 23. So we need another waiver from that one additional parking space.
The requirement is 23 and you're proposing
18. To continue the 18 that was previously granted. And then we also need a
variance from the maximum impervious coverage requirement. 40% is permitted as maximum. 63.59 was previously existing and approved by the board. And then 15.47 was permitted at the time that the dental office came in by way of a prior resolution. It was discovered in completing the plans for this application that 51.47 in actuality as an as-built was 51.7, not 47. So what we're incorporating into this application is a variance just for that additional deviation that occurred during construction. So again, we need a variance for 51.7% of maximum impervious coverage. We also need a waiver from the buffering requirements of your ordinance. That's section 165-77G, as well as K7A1. And this is because the existing parking in the front yard of the property does not allow for the installation of the buffering that's required by those sections of your ordinance. And then the last thing we need is permission to modify condition 5 of your prior resolution. That's resolution
of the planning board resolution.
Correct. Thank you. Of the prior planning board resolution, and that's resolution 2017-03, and that would allow for the increased square footage that we're asking for approval for tonight, as well as a maximum number of 12 employees and a maximum number of 5 patient chairs. So that's the relief we're asking for, and at the end of the last hearing back in January, you had heard from Dr. John Nero, who's the owner and operator of the dental facility, and you also heard from Wayne Ingram of ENLP, who testified as the engineer and planner for the application. Tonight we're back here.
And we were about to hear from the architect, but then
we were indicated to the board that we would submit a colored elevation showing the proposed exterior of the building, as well as some information as to the actual materials that would be utilized. Both of those were submitted to the board. They were submitted on February 15th. And John, do we need to mark those, or they just need part of the application?
Part of the application, and we swore in your architect last time. He remains under oath, but just to get him qualified, and then he can testify.
Correct.
So, for the record, can you tell the board, pronounce and spell your last name?
My name is John Haberle, H-A-E-B-E-R-L-E, licensed architect in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. I've been registered since 1992. I have appeared in front of several boards, probably most recently in Warren Township, Glen Gardner, Branchburg Township, Morristown Township, and others.
And you've been accepted as an architectural expert before all those boards, correct?
Yeah.
Any questions as to his qualifications? Mm-hmm. No. Okay.
You're accepting him as an expert?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just a brief description. Just one thing for the record. I just want to point out there's no one else in the room here as a member of the public to comment for or against this. And I'm noting we're running a WebEx, and there's no one from the public on the WebEx here. I just want to make sure that the board, just the applicant and board members. Okay.
Very good. Just a brief description of the existing building. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but I'll give you just a very brief description. It's an existing two-story building, pretty clad. There's a main rectangle, very unadorned building. So it's a very traditional building. I would almost say it's got some colonial revival feel to it with the small double-hung windows, very symmetrical. It's got brick coins at the corners. Simple gable roof that runs east and west. So I would consider it a traditional building, with the exception of the featured arch top windows on the second side. That being said, there is on the west side, access from the parking lot, there's a small grass enclosed one-story vestibule. And on the east side, as Karen had mentioned previously, there exists an existing drive-through that was utilized from the previous TV. That is where we are proposing to construct the new addition, which is 10 foot 3.5 inches east to west, 19 feet 1.5 inches north. So we're talking about 196 square foot addition. The previous drawings that were submitted, drawings A1 and A2 that were submitted to the board, dated June 14th, 2021, indicated on the north side of the addition, proposed addition, the entire north wall being brick clad, brick faced, with a double hung window to match the existing windows. The other two sides, the east and the south side, were previously indicated to have horizontally either fiber cement or vinyl siding. At our previous meeting in January, the board suggested or asked if we couldn't clad all three sides of the addition with the matching brick. And Dr. Milo agreed to do so, and that's what the renderings indicate here.
So just for the record, the rendering is, it's drawing R1,
yeah,
and it was prepared by you, right, and it is dated February 2, 2022.
The renderings indicate the addition with three sides, again, of brick cladding to match the existing building. We have samples that I can show you as well.
When you say three sides, it's three sides to match the one side, so all four sides you're going to have the brick.
There's only three sides of the addition.
And it's
right,
including the drive.
Right, but the entire
building will be brick clad.
Right.
The north side, again, as I said, will have a double hung window. The east side has a single 3 foot wide by 7 foot high door that is acting as a second means of egress out of the building. And the south side of the addition, which faces Route 31, is just a brick wall. You know, and that's the wall that the exam chair or the treatment chair is facing. So that's a solid wall for that. Do you want me to indicate anything on the renderings?
Unless anyone has a question for you, I think you've...
I just would like to say that, and as you, I'm sure, already know, the addition is being located underneath the existing canopy that protected the drive-through. So there's an existing deck with railing above the canopy. The canopy roof, the railing will remain. We will build this addition under approximately half of that canopy.
And, Mr. Chairman, do you have copies of the actual materials if people would like to see them?
Oh, yeah, sure. You should pass those down.
And my suggestion is, what was submitted into the record was a digital copy of that, which is a lot easier for Denise to keep in the file. So unless someone from the board really wants to make Denise keep the brick sample in the file, I'm suggesting that we make this demonstrative exhibit and let them take it home. Right, I'm trying to make that pitch that you take them with you. Anyone have a problem with that? Okay.
If I can just clarify, when Dr. Marlowe moved into this building and did the initial construction, there was a drive-through window at that canopy. It was removed as part of that initial construction, and it was able to be utilized in this brick. So it is the matching brick that was used.
Okay, you want to show those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they don't have a modular brick, but this is the color. This is the actual brick that's indicated on what was submitted.
It's the Glenn Gary is the manufacturer, and this is their Danish 1776, right?
That's correct. Now, this is a paver size. This is a very similar color brick. This is the modular size. So this would be the size of the brick in this brick. Again, it's Glenn Gary, Danish 1776.
And then just one last question. Did you review the letters that were submitted by the board's professionals?
I did.
And then did you review my response letter dated January 24 to those review letters? And do you agree with the comments and the willingness of the applicant to address the comments in those letters?
I do.
Anything else you'd like to say to the board?
Not unless the board has questions.
Mr. Chairman, Chair, unless the board needs to hear any additional information or has any other questions, I believe we've completed our presentation to the board. We've outlined the variances that are required. I believe that we've satisfied the proofs required for the granting of the D4 as well as the C variances. We've shown you that the materials that we'll be constructing the addition will certainly be not only aesthetically pleasing, but will fit in with the surroundings and also match the existing building. So we would ask that the board look favorably upon this application and grant us the relief that's required.
Yes, I'm going to look over my notes from January.
Can I tell you what I have?
Sure.
So, this is based on the testimony that Mr. Ingram gave. The D4 variance, the legal standard is, can the site accommodate the increased FAR? Well, the proposed development is not going to increase the intensity of the site. Going forward, they're going to increase from 6 to 8 employees, but the parking still has 2 more spaces than they really need, even though it needs a parking variance. And the proposed development will increase the aesthetics of the site. So for all those reasons, that was the basis for the D4 variance. It was really that the site absolutely can accommodate it, and there's no negative whatsoever. The C impervious variance was de minimis. It was, you know, the 51 point whatever she said before for the 51.7.
51.47,
yeah.
51.47, now it's 51.7, again, that's just based on the SO.
The front yard setback variance, you basically use the same hardship reasons that were used in 2017 by the planning board to grant those variances, because these, even though, yes, they are an encroachment, it's less than before. And it's really the new C2 variances, that case I had noted, the appellate division case, that's on my crib sheet, that says basically the public benefit that needs to be shown for a C2 variance is not simply limited to a benefit coming from the variance. It can come from the entire development as a whole. And so what I had discussed with the board was, if they agreed to do all brick, which they did, then the public benefit would be improved aesthetics for the overall project, promoting a desirable visual environment. And that would be the basis for the remaining C2, the new C2 variances. The exceptions are the waiver. Again, according to my crib sheet, it's not one basis if you have hardship, but the other basis is if it's impracticable. And there's no case defining impracticable, so in my crib sheet I put forth what I thought the definition of impracticable is, and let me just quickly read it. Unlike undue hardship, which has been defined in C1 variance cases, which would also apply in exception cases, impracticable has not been defined in any published land use or zoning case. Following the basic rule of construction that legislative language should be given its plain and ordinary meaning, impracticability, in my opinion, for purposes of considering an exception, should focus on the dictionary definition of impractical, which is the root of impracticable. The dictionary definition of impractical is not, quote, not wise to put into or keep in practice or effect, end quote, and also an inability to deal, quote, sensibly or prudently with practical matters. So their argument was, if we have the parking area, and because of the parking area, we can't do the plantings. Not only is that a hardship, but it makes utterly no sense to not grant an exception when, by definition, the use needs a parking area, and that's where it's been approved in the past. And the same thing with the parking. Makes no sense. If you force them, they could pave another space, but it makes no sense to pave another space if they don't need it. They'll have less pavement. And that's their case in a nutshell. And that's where they were up to the point, we'll show us what it looks like.
I guess we can deliberate. I don't know if anyone has any problems with this. Conditions. The only thing I had down that we had discussion on any conditions was no change to any lighting, correct? Does anyone have anything else written down?
Well, now we have, we're going to use the Glengarry Danish 1776 brick.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I had the condition to incorporate the
variance for the increase in pervious that we discovered.
No, he's saying conditions of approval.
No, I understand. I'm just going back.
And the conditions of approval would be any outstanding items in the board professional reports.
Yep.
Kara had responded to all of them in her letter dated January 24 and went through all of them.
Right, but I don't know that any of those would necessarily make a resolution.
No, they wouldn't. One, they're going to work with the... There's a couple that will make it into the resolution. Like, they're going to work with the board's landscape architect to appropriately address item 7, whatever that is.
Architectural plans, engineering plans that will revise to conform calculations.
The existing monument sign is going to remain as is. I mean, they've agreed to all the board professionals' reports. I'm just going to incorporate them in, if the board grants approval.
And we did indicate under number 6 for proposed development in my letter of January 24th that no new lighting is proposed or necessary.
Right.
So we can certainly incorporate that, either the entire letter or that as a specific condition.
Then you want to discuss any problems, questions, and then you can deal with this in the mm-hmm. Okay, and you reach deliberation, John, you're using me.
I got everything I need, so I'm just going to make a motion.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve all the relief as...
Right, approve all the relief as stated.
Subject to all the conditions that we discussed.
Subject to all the conditions that we discussed.
I'll second. Okay.
And Denise, will you call the roll, please? Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McKeon?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
And Ms. Stephen?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay.
Clarify the standard conditions.
Yes, it includes the board's standard conditions.
I'm not sure they know standard conditions.
She knows the standard conditions.
I know John
Bill's
standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Absolutely. We'll be willing to comply with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so one other thing, since they're here. If, in light of the fact that there's not a whole lot of plan revisions that have to be made, and everything is summarized in Kara's January 24th letter that they agreed to. If the applicant wanted to apply for permits before the resolution was adopted, does the board want to give an indication? They can't tell Denise what to do about issuing the zoning permits, but do you want to indicate your feeling that she could go ahead, obviously have it then reviewed against the board conditions?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, so you've heard that if you want to go ahead before the resolution, Denise is going to act as if the resolution has been adopted because the conditions are clearly delineated what they're going to be when I eventually get around to doing this.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
A couple of administrative things on Mr. Nasser. I think we're going to disconnect.
Yes.
He's gone.
Okay. So much
So John, we're looking for one resolution from you still, IPP Solar.
Yep.
And that's the only one outstanding.
Plus this one.
Now it's two, right?
Right.
And Denise, what do we have for agenda of next month? Anything in the pipeline?
We do. But it's still...
Is it likely to be here for next month?
Yeah, there's one checklist item in the game.
And that's a residential piece?
No. That is in the box.
Okay. And that's it. So there's not a lot of stuff in the pipeline?
No, not right now. We've had a few. Over the last few months, we've had three, and actually have another request for another one. Professional meetings with professionals about prospective applications.
Yeah,
so I think we're going to be getting
the applicants have been getting very smart lately, and they've asked for a bunch of professional meetings and Kara's asked for two clients mm-hmm. the professionals meeting, so they get. Informally, the view of the planner and the engineer and all that, if there's any legal issues, they get that all ahead of time so they can plan better. Now, nothing we say is binding on the board, but it makes for an easier application process generally.
Oh, and we do have a residential application that was just recently received, and another, I will say before.
When is the next meeting?
The next meeting is
April what?
The 25th. April 25th. Is that on your calendar?
I did not.
And then May 23. Okay, anything else you want to talk about? Go ahead.
We have after we finish that, I'm not sure if it is close.
Definitely too soon to go. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done? 7 minutes?
That was good.
It should all be like this. Ha. Every now and then, your style will be a good one.
Yeah, right every now and then, you need a scrap.
Hopefully.
Yes. Okay. I thought it was fascinating. Who said that we had not that long ago? Go back and see where it was. They're not going to do it. I think, I think for business, places like the doctor, I think there's a lot more competition. I know this because my wife's friend is working days. More than perceptions.
Bye, everybody. Have a
good for 20 years. The world wasn't really opened up there. They didn't get in town. That's good. So, after all that stuff and the lawsuits, they're not going to blow. Yeah. And Randy Klein is, it's not even.
Hired doctors. Baby boomers are all retired now.